Well, we are coming into part four of our series, The Harvest Is Now. And in part one, we talked about the harvest that we are enjoying or not enjoying now, that every one of us is standing in some situation, some circumstances of life that we're of our own creation. Now, there is an enemy. We have an enemy, and he tries to mess us up. But and things that he sows, not necessarily our harvest, but it's a harvest he wanted for us. Excuse me one second. But we talked about that. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, in part 1, we talked about this when Noah got off of the boat and he offered a sacrifice to God. I don't know if you can imagine what the earth looked like at that point. Have you ever seen a flood area? You can't recognize it. I mean, there's just nothing there. But he offered a sacrifice to the Lord. The Lord smelled a sweet savor. And he said this, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, and day and night will not cease. That was the new judgment that is upon the world. For the righteous, it's good. For the unrighteous, it's not good. Because it is the perfect form of justice in the earth. Seed time and harvest. What you sow, you will reap. Good or bad, whatever. It is perfect justice. And God established that law of seed time and harvest right there and then. And ever since then, that law has existed. It's a spiritual law that backs it. It's not like the Ten Commandments type of law where you, thou shalt not, but it is a spiritual law, and it is in effect, just like the law of gravity. If I drop my phone, guess what happens? It goes down. That's the law of gravity. It's always in force. The law of sowing and reaping is always in force. So, then we talked in part two, an enemy has done this. The devil is a bad devil and God is a good God. God has all good intentions for you. He is good. Jesus said this, if you being evil are able to give good things to your kids, how much more will God give to his? God is a good God. John 10:10. The devil comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. He said, I am come that they might have life, and then might have it more abundantly. That means to the full, till it overflows. That's the kind of life that Jesus wants you to have. In part three, we talked about the woman at the well. And Jesus wants his harvest. Jesus looks at the world exactly how he looked at that woman, with compassion, with love, with understanding and mercy. And you notice there was all of a sudden there was no Ten Commandments or anything. He just talked to her like she was a long-lost sister. And he said, look, if you drink that water, you're going to get thirsty again. But the water that I will give you will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He wanted to empower her, and the rest of the world wanted to throw rocks at her. Amen. But Jesus is good. Today we're talking about God is the God of increase. Say that. God is the God of increase. We can see it in creation. When in the first chapter of Genesis, we see that he spoke to the earth and the earth brought forth grass and so forth. We see that he is he's a blessing God. He's a blesser. He is a multiplying God. He is a multiplier. He creates everything to multiply. Amen. God is a God of increase, and he created every living thing to reproduce after its own kind. And he called that fruitful. What is fruitful? It means to multiply. 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 Say that. Multiply. Multiply. Take the limits off. You're talking about God here and what he does. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. We'll get into this, see what God says about it. I look at Phil's guitar over here while you're turning there. Man, I could listen to him play all day long. He was playing something when I walked up here, and he said, all day long, man, all day long. I'm going to read from verse 11 to 13, then I'm going to read from verse 20 to 22, then from 26 to 28. But I'm picking out certain parts here toward our subject matter. It said, and God said, boy, that's big right there. What happens when God says something? Creation happens, life happens, it comes right out of his mouth, life. And anything that he desires in his heart, when he speaks, he always speaks the desired result. When he saw darkness, what did he say? Light be. There, let there be light. So he always speaks the desired result. There's something to learn there for us. When we see things wrong in our life, don't start talking about, well, you know, that's just me. I'm always this way. Or why are you agreeing with that? When you have the ability inside you to call light to shine in darkness, to call answers when you have questions. You have that in you. You have the person of God, the Holy Spirit living in you. You have the Spirit of Christ. The same Spirit. You're one Spirit with him. Well, that's the first three words of the verse. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, an herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Notice he called it a his. His kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. What did God see? Yeah, what did God see, though? He saw what he said. You see what you say in your life. It shows up because words are seeds. Jesus said so. Verse 13. And the evening and the morning were the, what? Who said that? Say that again. The third day. The third day. Evening and the morning were the third day. Anything else in Bible history that you can think of that happened on the third day? Ah, 4,000 years after God said this and it happened, Jesus rose from the dead. Praise God. The third day. I'll get into that in a minute, but I just wanted to put that in there because I'll get to that. But I wanted to insert that because Genesis means beginnings. That's what it means. The genesis of something is its origin. This is the book of origins, the book of beginnings. Excuse me. It reveals so much in this first chapter. It reveals God's plan for human history. It shows us what's going to happen. On the fourth day, you know what happened on the fourth day? There was a lesser light, there was a great light and a lesser light. That was the sun and the moon. When God said, let there be light, that wasn't talking about the sun. That was talking about the light that is the creative force of the entire universe. The sun wasn't created until the fourth day, and the moon. The sun, right in the middle of this solar system, we revolve around the sun. It's really graphic that our life should revolve around the Son of God, because he is the light of the world. Amen. And the moon, you know what that represents? Say it. Yeah, well, the moon represents the church. We are not that light, but we reflect that true light into the world. It's a powerful thing. Creation is an amazing thing. And it reveals the very nature of God. So the first thing that we have to, first of all, if you understand Genesis, you're going to understand God's will. You're going to understand his intentions. You're going to understand how he operates and the principles by which he operates. And you're also going to understand how you yourself can operate in these principles. The law of faith, that's illustrated in Jesus' ministry. Mm. When he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says, not that he prays, that he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. That's the law of faith. You say, you believe that? Well, yeah, I believe what Jesus said. And it would be best that you did too. And he says, whosoever. There's no caveats in this. If you believe in your heart something and you say it with your mouth, it will come to pass, whether it's good or evil. Whether it's doubt and unbelief or faith and love. Am I getting anywhere today? We making headway? That's encouraging. But you'll find the laws of life are revealed in the first chapter of Genesis. Number one is, you can write this down because this will really help you. It helped me. God showed me this back in, I think it was 1997 or 1998, somewhere in that period. But write this down. Everything was created by the Word of God. Everything was created by the Word of God. Now that means something. You can put a therefore, comma. Everything is subject to the Word of God. He just demonstrated it. He created the earth with his mouth, with his words, right? And then he did what? He spoke to the earth. And he said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and trees that with fruit to reproduce after their own kind. Bearing fruit after their own. He just demonstrated it. Here's where it is. You know, if you meditate on Genesis 1, you're going to understand a whole lot more. All of a sudden, the parables will start to come alive to you. The teachings of Jesus will come alive to you. It will be powerful for you. And it will empower you. That's what the Word of God is designed to do. He gave this to empower you, to show you how you can overcome things in life that nobody else can, how you can have assurance and victory and hope, a living hope that you can walk in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Genesis, now let's go to verse 20. There goes God again. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly and moving creature, and the moving creature that has life, and fowl, that's birds, fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. You know, I was taught evolution when I was in school, back in the 50s and 60s, that we all came from monkeys. And it was the theory that we went from the goo to the zoo to you. My question was, well, why are there still monkeys? Right. Why? I mean, it's like, I was no cerebral giant at this point, but I did have some kind of logistics going on in my, it's like, well, if that's the case, then all monkeys should be, they shouldn't be anymore. They should have turned into us. Anyhow, it just didn't make sense. There was something, but I seemed to accept part of it, but not all of it. And you need to accept all of creation because it is the truth. And when you're standing before God on that day, you're going to want to know that you knew this and yet you were starting to operate the way God operates. And come, you got to know God. What did Jesus say to the people? He says, I didn't know you. You didn't know me. Depart from me. That's big. And I'm not saying that to condemn. Jesus doesn't say anything to condemn. He's just telling you the truth. Why? So that you come to him and live. He wants you to live forever with him. He said, I go and prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. He wants you to be with him. Yes. He desires that so much that he laid his life down and let them put nails in him and kill him to pay the price of your sin. a price that you couldn't pay. I couldn't pay it. Praise God. And God said, let the waters, and so forth. Now, he created whales, verse 22. And God blessed them, saying, God speaks blessing. And when he speaks blessing, it empowers everything to prosper in its own way. That's what the blessing is. The blessing is the power to prosper in every area of life. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. So far, God spoke to the earth. He spoke to the waters. He spoke to every moving creature and whales. And to cut to the chase here, God said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the seas. And he spoke to the fowl and said, multiply. Verse 26, and God said, boy, God's saying and saying and saying and saying, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them, man, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the face of the earth. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female. That's a revelation. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth. Now this word replenish, people said that means to refill. Like there was some pre-Adamic race. Well, if there was a pre-Adamic race, no other writer in the Bible knew about it. I don't believe that for a minute, that there was a pre-Adamic race that got wiped out somehow and God had to do over, had to remake it. I don't believe that for a minute. And it's not supported in Scripture, no matter how they read. You know who developed that theory? Phineas Dakes, the Dakes Bible. Now, there's some good things in Dakes, but I don't agree with this. Because right around the time he was evangelizing and so forth, what happened was the theory of evolution, it's a revolution against God, but evolution was gaining a lot of steam, and it was starting to change the education systems and of our nation. And so he said that there's this big gap between Genesis 1 and 2. That was eons and eons. And there was a pre-Adamic, and he invented this whole thing, and there's nothing in Scripture to support it. So how many things do we invent that have no roots in the Bible too? I mean, look, this is a wake-up call to us. Look, if it's not in the Bible, why invent it? You know who else invented stuff? Was Lucifer. Didn't work out too good for him. So don't invent stuff. If it says it in the Word, speak it. Praise God. Be fruitful and replenish the earth. This means the word replenish. Whenever they see an R-E at the beginning of a word, like like refill, well, that it means to do it over again, R-E. But this word replenish doesn't mean that. I mean, look at the word receive. Does that mean you received it before? Receive? No. This word replenish means to satiate, to cram packed full of. This is what he means. Cram the earth packed full of everything. Just multiply. Cram it full. And if you need it bigger, I'll make it bigger for you. Whatever you need, I'll be. That's what El Shaddai means. Replenish the earth and subdue it. That means bring it under your authority. You have dominion in the earth. Use it. That's what he's saying. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the... Who has dominion in the earth at this point? Does God? Who has dominion? Man, yes, we do. We have dominion over the earth. Now, the sovereignty doctrine says that everything that happens is somehow God's will. That is not in the Bible. God is sovereign in the fact that he doesn't answer to anybody. But he sovereignly committed dominion of the earth to you and to me. We are responsible. Amen? So, man has the dominion of the earth. And there's no caveats to that. You ever notice that? God didn't say, as long as you behave, you have dominion. It's not there. There was no reason to misbehave. There was no evil influences in the world at that point in time. Was there? No! It was all, God saw it and it was good. We just read it. And at the last part, it says it was very good. There was no selfishness to destroy relationships or to create enemies. There was no enemy at this point in time. We need mind renewal on this stuff. In fact, there was no enemy. There's an enormous amount of authority given to Adam and Eve here, isn't there? And in fact, the authority he gave them affected the human race forever after that, didn't it? Because when Adam fell, a man who was created to reproduce after his own kind, when he fell, his spirit died. And when he and Eve came together and bore Cain and Abel, guess what? They inherited that same dead spirit nature because they created after their own kind. So, but God had a plan in mind. He had a savior. He had a plan of redemption in mind, and he did it. But God spoke blessing into their lives. He coronated them as the first lords with a small L of this world, of this earth. He spoke blessing to them. And everything happened. He transferred his authority. He transferred dominion. He caused life to come forth from the earth. He spoke to it. He spoke to man and blessed them. Everything came through his word. You with me? Ask yourself, what happened if God didn't speak? Nothing would have happened. It all happened through words. There's a verse of scripture in John chapter 15 at the Last Supper, and Jesus said this in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask or call forth what you will, and it shall be done to you. You see how important it is to get God's word in your heart? Because out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you speak God's word, guess what? Blessing's going to come out. Creation, you're going to create opportunities for yourself. There is no end to this. Look, you ever notice that fruit and veggies and stuff like that, well, let's say it's a fruit tree. Let's say it's an apple tree or a pear tree or an orange tree, whatever. And you take one of those apples off of that tree or one of those oranges, and you're going to see that one orange has a lot of more seeds in there. Just doesn't have one seed. It has a lot of seeds. Now, you take a kernel of corn. When you take a kernel of corn and plant it, what does it do? It creates a stalk. That's what it produces. With what, 3 or 4, sometimes 5 ears of corn on that thing, on the stalk? And each of those ears of corn has an average of 800 kernels. That's the multiplication process we're talking about here. An apple, how many seeds does an apple have in it? I've cut them open and they fly around, but the thing is, the apple has more apples, so it's got 10 seeds in there. Now, what does that do? You plant one seed, it creates an apple tree that grows branches that have lots of apples with 10 seeds inside of them. And so forth. And it doesn't stop there because those apples fall, another tree grows. It's exponential. That one seed, That's the type of multiplication that God showed us in Genesis and that he is giving to us as a gift. Now, let me go to this. Somewhere between Genesis 1 and Genesis 26, which was quite a while. I mean, it was over 2,000 years. The multiplication process started to be called fold, tenfold, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Jesus used the term too. Now, 10 times 10 is what? John? John's the math teacher. 10 times 10 is 100, right? Now, if you take a piece of paper and fold it once, one fold is twice. Twofold is four. Four times. Two is four. Fold it a third time, it's eight. A fourth time, it's 16. I can't fold any more than this. Five is whatever. It's a lot, okay? The fold, it's a much better process. Can we get that on there? There's a little graph we have here. Okay. Here it is. Mark 4:20, Jesus said, "These are they which are sown in good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit some 30, 60, and 100 fold." Right? This is to demonstrate the difference between the God kind of multiplication beginning in Genesis 1 compared to the kind of multiplication we learned in school. I'm talking about five loaves and two fishes multiplication. See, if you have $10 and you sow $10 into the kingdom of God, 1 times 10 is 10. 10 times 10 is 100. Let's go to the next one. 20 times 10 is 200. 30 times 10 is 300. Now let's go back to the first one. Here's the kind of multiplication we're doing. Now, 1 times 10, there's no difference. 2 times 20, 2 times 40, 2 times, until you get up to 10 fold, 10 fold of $10 is $5,120. To the next one. 20-fold of $10 is $5,242,880. That's fivefold. Whereas 20 times 10 is only 200. 30-fold, I couldn't go any higher than this because my calculator wouldn't go there. But 30-fold of $10 is $5,368,709,120 because it doubles every time. And this even falls short of the actual thing. But this is the type of multiplication that God wants you to understand so that when you... Now, let's go back to the very beginning again. Can you see how important that $10 bill is now? And it has no potential in itself until you release your faith in God's ability and plant it. Thank you for that thunderous silence. This is what God's talking about. We're talking about 30-fold, and that's the highest my calculator. Can you imagine? I think 60-fold was like 17 quadrillion or something like that. It was an amazing number. So I don't think that's true. You can go think all you want, but I'm talking about the type of... Look. When was the flood? Well, we know it was before Abraham, right? Abraham, the world was 2,000 years old when Abraham came on the scene. We know that because there was 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. The flood was in between that period of time. So let's say it was around 1600, something like that, 1600 years old. But this flood was a long time ago. But from the time of Adam, when Adam fell, to the flood, this earth was heavily populated. Rick Renner did the math on that. And he said this world was heavily populated. And it wasn't populated with the right kind of stuff either. We're talking about monsters and demonic giants and things like that because of the angels' interference, trying to infest the gene pool of humanity until it became impossible. So God had to wipe it out. And that even, the flood was even merciful of God, because if God didn't flood out the earth at that point and destroy it all, there wouldn't have been a virgin left for Jesus to be born in, from. So it had to be that way. And right now there's over 8 billion people in this world. That's a lot. And we can only reproduce one. Now, you can have twins. You can have quadruplets, and there have been that too. Watch what you pray for. And watch what you say. Jesus said your words are like seed. They will grow up and become greater. Your words will either grow up and become greater than you, or they will become great to take care of you. Look at, remember when Isaac sowed in the land? Did I just go over that? I didn't go over that. Okay, Genesis 26, and you can, we'll go with verse 2. This is where Isaac, there was a drought in the land. He was living in the land. This is the land of promise. And there was a drought in the land, and people were starting to starve. He was going to go down to Egypt, and he was going to borrow from them, go into debt to them. And the Lord stopped him. He says, don't go down to Egypt. He said this in verse 2. The Lord appeared to him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. And Isaac sowed in that land. That was the land of famine. And received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great. This word great, it's really cool. I went to Strong's. I'm not a Hebrew scholar or anything, but I can look it up. It means to make greater, to increase, to lift up, to magnify, to nourish and to... This actually means, if you read into it in its context, you will see that he waxed great in order to become greater. He waxed rich in order to be a source to others. He waxed strong to give others strength and insight and wisdom. This is the kind of greatness that Abraham had. This is the kind of greatness that Noah had, where he could hear God and just act on it. This is where you will be in life, exactly where you need to be at the right time in the right place. He waxed great. Now, if he did that for Isaac, he has to do it for us, because we have a much better covenant than Isaac had, based on better promises and an easier skidoo, because now we are filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit, new creations. He wasn't even born again. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Do you know what that word of God? It's the word rhema. And it means everything that the Logos is, but it's like a laser beam concentrated to inject into time with the same power that the entire creative universe was made of. It was framed by the word of God, by the spoken word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. This universe was not made from nothing. It was made from things that don't appear. We can't see them. but there was spiritual matter. And God spoke and used and brought them together in a creative way. How much matter is in your life that God can just, excuse me, sir. That is the pulpit. How many things are in your life, matters, or matter that is in your life floating around in your head that God wants to straighten out and breathe on and make right? I'm telling you, God is unlimited. He can reach down in your life right now, everything will be fine. He can touch your heart, and suddenly you'd have no heart problems. He can touch your lungs or your kidneys. He can touch anything. Your pancreas. He can touch your skin, and he can solve all of your problems. He's not limited except by our own unbelief. He has opened the door to the possibilities of greatness for each one of us so that tomorrow we can be greater, and then that can double, and that can double, and that can double, and the greatness that we have on the inside. This will affect how you pray. When you pray the Word of God, do you understand the potential that you have? That Word is seed with the power in itself to reproduce everything that God, all the blessings of God, the promise of God, the provisions of God. And all of that can come together and explode into your life. That's what they're saying. Frame it. If God framed His world with His words, you can do it because you are in the image and the very likeness, recreated and empowered by the same Spirit that Jesus was baptized in to go forth, that Paul operated and turned the world upside down. We can do it. We can do it. You have the ability. It's not a matter of ability. It's a matter of availability. It's a matter of willingness to do what He said to do and to take His word to the wall and just do it. I'm excited about that because this means that you are connected to somebody who can make it happen tomorrow, yesterday. He can do it. Impossible odds, terminal sickness, whatever it is. Financial needs. How about dysfunctional relationships? Why did you do that, Phil? That was a joke. What does the scripture say? What does the promise say? If He promised it in His word, it's yours. All the promises of God in Him are yes and amen unto the glory of God. So, okay, we have this problem. The word says this, pray the word over it. Declare the word over it. Stay there until it becomes part of you. Yes. And keep declaring it and keep declaring it. It doesn't matter what you see or what's happened. What matters is the truth, because the truth is what changes the matter. That's the matter that's in your life that you can reframe with the Word of God. So the things which do appear were not made by things. Well, things that are seen are not made by things that appear. The final result is you will see what you said because God is seeing what He said in Genesis. And you were created just like Him. Think of it this way. One more thing and then we're out. I'm going to close with this. When David went out to slay Goliath, he went out in the name of the Lord, right? And killing Goliath, poof, padong, Goliath had to Goliath down. Lost his head in them. But that was only the beginning. David said, I'm not done yet. Listen to this. Did I write this down? Yeah. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 51. Did I put that there? Yeah. Therefore, it says, and when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Where was their faith? In a man. a monster of a man, an evil man. He, in fact, he was the Old Testament type of the Antichrist. You'll notice the 666 is in all of his description. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shaaraim, even unto Gath. That's where Goliath was from. I wrecked you, now I'm going to wreck your house. I'm going to wreck your city. I'm going to spoil you. They killed all of the Philistine soldiers and unto Ekron. See, when you get an answer to prayer, that's an open door for a lot more than what God just gave you. Oh, I have the big, David could have rested and just said, okay, wow, God's great. Finish the job. Netanyahu, finish the job. Hamas. By the way, that whole area right down, that's where the Philistines were. And the Palestinians is the genesis of that's what remains of the Philistines who always hated the Jews. This is going back pre-Jesus time. This is going back 1,000 years before that. It's Philistines. They hated. So, and we think we're going to drop some peace treaty into. No, you need to destroy those. They are murderers. They have no soul like we do. They are trained from the time they're children to kill Jews. You got to finish the job. Peace always, you know, peace only comes. If you study world history, peace only comes after great conflict. And it is always temporary. It's always 100 years, 50 years, 200 years, something like that, and it starts again. Look, last century we had 2 world wars. We would have been in another world war had the election gone a different way. We would have. I mean, we wouldn't have had a choice. The Philistines saw their champion was dead. What does that say? That the champions of this world are going to fall real soon, real fast, and people won't know what to do. Where are we? We need to be ready with the gates open. Say, come unto me, come unto us, come unto us, and you'll find the truth. And that truth will work for you. Amen. Period. End. That's it. Praise God. Did you get anything out of that today? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You have seed inside of you. The word of God, let it abide in you. And when you speak, let it be the word seasoned with grace and mercy and kindness. A soft answer will turn away wrath. And when you need to be hard, be hard. You know, it's not a lack of love to go into war. And to destroy the enemies, if that's what God says to do. In fact, it is an act of love because those people are going to destroy other people who are good, innocent people. It's a justice system that God put into place. Praise God. Father, thanks for your word. We ask, Father, your presence to remind us of these words as we go forth into the week. Praise God. Remind us to speak the words of life, the words of blessing, the words of reconciliation, the words that will heal, words that will empower, words that will strengthen. As Dwight shared, strengthen us with might. That word might is dunamis. It's called virtue in the Gospels, but it's supernatural power. That you be strengthened with supernatural power by the Spirit of the living God dwelling in you, rooted and grounded in love, so that you bring his love to anybody who will listen. Thank you, Father. We ask your blessing on this week. Multiply us. Help us be fruitful and multiply. Give us the vision that your word has created in our hearts, that we will pursue the vision and not what we see in front of us. That we have thousands upon thousands of blooming and creative seeds that we are releasing through faith. In Jesus' name, amen.